Well, hello again, listeners. This is Jamie L's Podspace. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for tuning in to another one of my episodes. I've missed you guys. It's been a few months. I hope you guys are out there, staying safe and staying close to your family. And, I just praise God that you guys are well, alive and well, especially with, the pandemic that's going on right now. It can cause us to feel restricted in a way, you know what I mean? But God is still a big God, and God is still moving very fast and mightily, there's nothing that small that could ever thwart his plans that he has for your life. And he's still blessing y'all in wondrous ways every single day, praise the Lord. So speaking of that, God has just revealed to me, that there's some things in me and the things in my life that I haven't let go of. So this episode inspired me. It's called Losing Grip. This episode inspired me to talk about it because I think it's just so important to really identify that and be able to really give that to the Lord, And that's the hardest things for us to do, in our humanness, we tend to do that. And, it's something that doesn't happen overnight. It's something that's a process. So I'm going to go ahead and get on right on into the episode. Let's have a word of prayer. And we're just going to jump right on in. You guys know I always tell you, working on the structure of the episode and things like that. But just think of when I'm talking, just think of it being the Lord is speaking through me. Because in the Bible, it actually says that Jesus is the vine and that we're the branches, So if you think about a tree, like the vine, it gives water to the branches, it gives nutrients and, just sustenance. And then these beautiful fruit come. And then, of course, the sunshine and all of that, too. But that's where the main branch gets life from, I think about this scripture where Jesus says that apart from me, you have no life in you, that's kind of like how I am. Like I'm that person. I'm like a conduit, just with energy that's coming from the Lord and giving it to you guys. So, now that I said that little mini little lesson, let's just go ahead on our word of prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to your throne this day, Lord. We want to give you praise, honor, and glory, Father God, for moving, Lord, for moving mightily through people, places, situations, and for loving us unconditionally, Lord. I just ask, Father God, that you would speak for me as I share this message that you placed on my heart to share with my wonderful listeners out there. And I pray that you'll just strengthen them and that you'll help them to lean on you, Father God. Help them to lean on your word and help them to have a thirst to want to spend time with you and get to know you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your holy word of truth. And I just pray for revival in my heart. And I pray that you'll just bless all the listeners out there in a way that they never have been blessed this week, Father God. We thank you and we praise you for the Sabbath rest. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, yeah, like I said, this episode is called Losing Grip. And I was inspired for that, like I said, just with the things that that God has been revealing to me in this season of my life. It's so hard it's so hard to let go. You know, that's a very scary thing, you know, to know that we can let go of, you know, things that we can't control, let go of things that, you know, maybe you're holding on things from the past, or maybe you're just struggling with just letting go of unforgiveness in your heart, you know. So when I was writing this out, I was thinking, you know, I'm sure that there's many things that we need to like let go of that I could probably name, but I came up with just three of them that I think is the most, that drives like the other ones. And I said, you know, we struggle with letting go of pain, we struggle in letting go of shame and guilt, and we struggle with letting go of shame and guilt of the past, and we struggle with letting go of control of our will, of our human will. And like I said, you know, we can add forgiveness, unforgiveness with that, but that would kind of go in pain. But it's really hard to let go of these things. Letting go is, it's like, we're losing control. You know, that comfort of knowing and just being able to predict things. But, you know, letting go is also a brazen thing to do because, I mean, the uncertainty and the anxiety of just the act of doing that and not knowing what to expect, like, that's faith in action, if you ask me. Like, that's faith in action. You know, it's something that takes time. You know, it's not something that happens overnight. It's something that takes time that we have to learn to do, because we can't control everything in our life. You know, we can't, you know, predict when things are going to happen. We just have to really just live life, you know. But thankfully, you know, we can let go of certain things, and we'll let go of all things, not certain things. And we can put our lives into the hands of Jesus. You know, Jesus tells us in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to me, let's actually go there right now. Hebrews, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. That's in the New Testament. Hebrews. Just a second. Okay. Chapter 11, verse 6. It's right before the book of Philemon, and it's after the book of James. Okay, it says in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So God is saying here, you know, it's impossible to please him without having faith in him, you know? So, you know, letting go, you know, in itself, if we constantly try to strive to do things on our own, and in our own will, we're constantly going to fail. Because apart from God, we have no life in us. We're destined for condemnation without God, you know. And if you go over to James 1:22, which is literally right next to Hebrews 1:22, chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. It says in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And verse 23 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way and forget of what he looks like in the mirror. But whoever looketh into the perfect law of freedom and continues it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Okay, so that I feel like those two scriptures should have been like right next to each other. But we know God tells us, you know, the word, we have to compare the scriptures and things. But it goes so close together with each other, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith in action is not just hearing what God is saying in faith, but actually doing it as well. I think that just, so if you're letting go of something and you're giving it to God, you have to know that God isn't going to just leave us empty. Like, he's going to fill us or whatever it is that we give him. Praise God. You know? So, let's go to, Proverbs 28:13 on that note. That's in the Old Testament. Proverbs 28, chapter 28, verse 13. And that's right before Job and after the book of Ecclesiastics. So I'm learning them as I go along. Okay, so chapter 28, verse 18. There we go. Okay, it says, oh, wait a minute. All right. Chapter 28, verse 18 says, whoever walks upright shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his way shall fall at once. Did I say 13 or 18? I'm sorry. Chapter 28, verse 13. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesseth and abandons them shall have mercy. And the English Standard Version of my other Bible says, whoever conceals his transgression shall profit nothing, but the ones who abandon them, that they shall be blessed. So that's awesome. That I just praise God that there's so many different types of ways to, you know, interpret his word. But yeah, that goes together. You know, if we withhold these things in ourselves and we try to handle things in our own will, you know, we're destined for all kinds of negativity in our life, you know, whether that's stress, whether that's worry, anxiety, whether that's paranoia, whether if that's depression, you know, we welcome ourselves in with all of those things. But, you know, I think as human beings, like, God created us to, you know, be logic and to, you know, reason and to do all of these things. But he didn't intend that for us to do that by ourselves. He never intended us to live in life independent without him. Okay? I mean, there's been many times in my life that I've, you know, struggled and still continue to struggle with letting go of certain things. But as we draw closer to the Savior, we can't help but put more of our hearts give him more of our hearts, because we are compelled by the love of Jesus. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:14. If you guys don't have the a Bible, you could just follow along, and you can always go back in here and you know, listen to it again and then write down the scriptures later if you want. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then we all are dead. And in my English Standard Version, it says that for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all have died. So the more we give our hearts to God, the more the love that Jesus, like I was telling you earlier, you know, about the tree, like the branches are us, and God is the tree. I mean, God is divine, you know, and he gives us that water. He nourishes us. So that's just symbolic of saying that God's love continues to pour out into our hearts, you know, and that's how we're able to really give up more of our lives to him when we do that. Praise the Lord. So God never intends for us to, you know, just live this world without him. He never is going to leave us dry. When we come to him, his desire is to fill us. If you read in Isaiah 55, God says that, you know, that he wants to water us, you know, and that if we're thirsty, he'll fulfill us. He'll give us the drink that we've been wanting. And that's where we're in right now in life, is that a lot of us, even though we're being created by God, but sin separated us from God. So we are destined for death and we're empty. But once we come back to God, we learn our identity in God. God fills us with his love. And, you know, we're safe with him. We don't worry about things that that we have no control over, to begin with. So, you know, God loves us. He doesn't like when we suffer. He doesn't like when we worry and we're up all night and, you know, we're struggling with just unforgiveness and things. But that's things that in this world that we constantly are weak over. But God has a plan for that. He tells us that the love of him compels us to do and love others the way he loves us, you know, and overflowing. In Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word is active and living, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, discerning the thought and intentions of the heart. So the word of God is active. And, you know, that's how we get filled. That's how we get our water. That's how our divine fulfills us, is when we read his word. In 2 Thessalonians 3:5, it says, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. And God will do that. The more we lean up on him, he'll do that. In 1 John 4:9, it says, and this love of God was shown among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. The only way that we can live is through Jesus Christ. We can't try to continue to do things in our own will, you know. It says in the word, and I think it was in Zechariah, it says that not by might or by power, but by your spirit, thus says the Lord. So that means not by human strength, not by the things that we try to plan out that we can conquer and, you know, live a peaceful life, but only by God's power, God's might, and God's strength, you know. Okay, I think about the story, perfect example of the story is you hear about in the beginning with Moses. And Moses, you know, he's the one that was chosen by God to free the Israelites out of Egypt. You know, God had a mighty plan for Moses. You know, Moses went into Egypt and he grew up, you know, around the Pharaoh, and, you know, but he was really a native Israelite, and he was trying to protect one of the Israelites and ended up, you know, killing him, murdering him, and he fled, and he lived with that guilt for years, you know, decades, until the Lord called him out of that and told him to go back into to Egypt to free his people. But he struggled with that guilt from the past. You know, he couldn't let that go. Even though it's been centuries and those people have died and there was a new Pharaoh and all of that. God didn't come to Moses. He didn't say, you killed such and such a man. He didn't say, you know, my word says thou shalt not kill. He didn't use all of that. Because God forgives us when we do something, especially if it's in a righteous way, he's not holding that against us, you know. And I think, you know, God, well, I know that God, he doesn't really look at you know, so much of our outward, what we do, like, you know, action wise as much as he looks at our heart. You know, it's not to say no, don't, because we can't just have faith without works. I mean, we definitely have to do the works, but our hearts need to align up with what we're doing. You know, just like what I said in 11:6, it says it's impossible without faith to please him. Okay, and so what does that look like, you ask me? What is faith and action look like? To me, I said it's by praying to God and bringing our concerns at his feet, by taking hold and captive of everything that's a sin or whatever it is that weighs against our heart and bringing it to the feet of Jesus. We have to fight against our sinful nature every single day, you know, to not worry, to not try to and take things into our own hands and put to death the desires inside of us that control us. Jesus tells us that our vindication does not produce the righteousness of him, you know. So, you know, just going off of what I was saying a little while ago, you know, one of the things is our desire to control. You know, sometimes there may be circumstances where we will have to intervene. Faith in action and letting go doesn't mean just sitting there just hoping that, okay, if I don't do anything and I just wait for the Lord, you know, then it's going to happen. No, not sometimes. You have to put action towards that while the Lord is allowing that faith that you have to work. And then there's other time and situations that you're in conflicts with someone, and you know that you're trying not to make it go longer. You're not trying to, you know, put more fuel to the flame, as they say, you know, or, you know, in those situations, you really do. And Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God, that I'll be exalted into the earth. You know, God, he's a wise God. He understands the situations. He knows what's going to happen even before they happen. So I don't think that faith and action and letting go means not to do anything. Like, we can still, you know, serve the Lord. We can still you know, trust in him. And but it's a good thing to have righteous discernment that God gives us in those situations, because they are different. But God clearly tells us that, I can't remember the scripture, but God clearly tells us that our vindication does not produce the righteousness of God, that we can't try to create a situation or handle a situation that is just not, that's not going to cause some sort of you know, negativity or some sort of, like, just, you know, pain or more frustration. You know, that he is the only perfect person in the world that can do that. But if we lean on him, he tells us that he is our vindicator. He is our strength, that he will render that judgment. All we have to do is be still and know that he is God. You know, so that's one of the things, too, is just our need to want to control situations, and that is the way that seems right to a man. He tells us that there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is in destruction. You know, so we can't really truly depend on ourselves, have faith in ourselves. And like I said, that is something that God is trying to wean us off of and help us to, you know, give more of our lives to Him. Letting go of the outcome we desire and let God reveal His will to us. You know, God loves us. You know, God loves us. He wants us to have good things. He wants us to, you know, live the abundant life He has for us. But that doesn't mean if you're saying, you know, my desire is to have $1,000, for example, so that I can get this, you know, new computer. But if it's not for His glory, He's not going to grant it to you, you know. So it's like it says in the Bible, it's a scripture that says you have not because He says to ask and it'll be given to you. But the reason why you have not is because you want to spend them on your own desires, you know, and our evil desires is the reason why when people pray and they say, well, I asked for this and God didn't give it to me, you know. So God always has our best interest at heart. He sees things like around the globe, like He sees every aspect or everything that can actually make us fall or hinder us in any way. His desire for us is not for evil but for good. It always is, but it never feels like that sometimes. And I can actually say that too, because, you know, just waiting on God is, you know, that's a fruit that is constantly being cultivated in us as well. Let's go to Psalm 145:6. Kind of just feeding off of what I'm saying in this verse, summing it up. Psalm 145, verse 6. I feel like I should put like some little thumb stickers in each scripture to find them. Psalm 146, verse 6, it says, And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Hold on just a second. I think I... Am I in Psalm 140? Okay. Okay, so it says Psalm 145:6, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living being. So that just goes along with what I was just saying. You know, God wants us to have good things. He satisfies us in so many ways. Galatians 2:20 says, okay, no, not Galatians 2:20. Yeah, so I think about that story. You know, how many people can place themselves in Moses' shoes, you know, that just are in bondage of not letting go of something like that that has happened, you know? And then Moses, when God called Moses to go to Israel, he was giving God excuses. You know, God didn't bring up his past, but he gave God every excuse in the book of why, oh, you know, I can't speak and all of these things. God didn't bring it up to him, but because he allowed that guilt to carry on for years and years and years, he just didn't feel qualified. His confidence was down, you know? He felt like, probably felt paranoid that if I go over, I'll probably die, or, you know, he didn't. And then, you know, I think about this story of when, you know, between Daniel and Goliath, you know, and I see David, you know, as being a kid and Goliath being like this big, big giant, you know, and he was fearless and went in to defeat him. You know, he didn't have any regrets like that, you know. Then there's another story. you know, with the Israelites, and when they were going to inherit the promised land. And God sent out spies of every tribe of the nation, tribes of the Israelites, and just to see what the land would be like and to get fruit. And a lot of the men brought back bad reports of it, because just like the giant Goliath, they saw all of these people. They saw the tribe of Anak. And they were fearful of that. They didn't believe that God was going to deliver them, you know. And if it wasn't for those two, you know, if it wasn't for Caleb and Joshua, they were the only ones that had enough faith that believed that God was going to deliver them from those people. He was going to drive out all of those people, and that was going to be their land, you know. And because of their disobedience, all the men in the tribe, those spies, their families, like, they didn't inherit the Canaan. They didn't inherit the land flowing with milk and honey. And let's go to Psalms of Solomon 8:9. Or I think it may just be called Solomon. The book of Solomon. I'm reading up a lot right now on Solomon and his life story. And it's pretty remarkable. Just seeing how God chose him and his obedience. And just, you know, Solomon was blessed with so much wisdom from the Lord. You know, he prayed a prayer when he was a boy, that right when he was, you know, ordained to be, you know, a king after his father David died, he, instead of him asking for the Lord to give him treasures and riches, whatever his, you know, desire wanted, he asked, Lord, give me wisdom to be able to lead these people, the Israelites. And God not only blessed him with wisdom of all the entire world, but he also blessed him with whatever desires of his heart was, you know. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier, that scripture that God never, he never merely just looks at what we do on the outside. He's always looking at what our heart intent is like while we're doing it, you know. So even if that's sharing, giving to people, if that's serving him, if that's, you know, like David, you know, being bold and just throwing those stones at Goliath, like, he looks at that, you know. So that's why I feel like faith and works definitely go together. But you know, and God is good, you know, regardless if we don't have faith in him and we do good to people, he still blesses us, because he rains water down on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous, because he loves all of us and he created all of us. Okay, so let's go to Psalm of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 9. Talking and trying to find it at the same time. Okay, just a second. Almost there. Pages are like clumping together. Chapter 8, verse 9, it says that if she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a doer, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. No, wait. I think my up a couple scriptures. Okay, so Song of Solomon chapter 8 verse 7. I went down a scripture. It says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Okay, and English Standard Version says in that scripture, it says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered up his whole life for love, he would be utterly condemned. So God loves us. You know, the love that God has for us, there's nothing more powerful than that. You know, nothing more powerful than that. Let's go over to Romans 8 verse 38 and 39. It says, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God, which is hidden in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, so the love of God that God gives us is so big, you know, and it's unconditional. You know, he always has our best interest at heart. He doesn't want us to be walking around, you know, with a heavy heart. You know, he doesn't want us to have a heavy heart. Okay, that's why it says in where I was just reading it, in the scripture that says about, you know, I think of Matthew 11, you know, when God says, come to me, all those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, it wasn't intended for us to worry and to hold on to things, because that really just keeps our heart closed. You know, God wants our heart to be light, and he wants us to be open so that we can hear from him. But when we're just holding on to these things, it keeps our heart hardened, you know. And if our heart is hardened, then his seeds can't go in our heart and can't be planted. You know, it's just like a ground, you know. Just if you're planting seeds, you're not gonna try to put seeds of, you know, a fruit on a ground and the dirt is hard. No, you're gonna kind of use the little thing to grind it up, to try to break it all up so that it can get as deep as it can down in there, and then you're gonna, you know, put some more dirt over it, and you're gonna water it, and once over time it becomes more nourished and it grows. That's what God does with our hearts, you know. Okay, let's go to Ecclesiastes 3 verse 6. That's literally right before Solomon. Chapter 3 verse 6. Chapter 3 verse 6, it says, and there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. And then verse 4 goes on, a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. The English Standard Version says, it's translated, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. So, I mean, God gives us certain seasons of our life, where it's just, there's nothing that we can do. You know, we can't try to change what God has destined to be, you know, but it doesn't last forever either, that season, you know. You know, over time and with patience, God can help us. God can heal us. God can help us to have his perspective to see, you know, the good that can come out of that situation, you know. Okay, let's go to, I think I actually, that's why it's so important for us to give God these things that you know, cause us pain in our life, these things that hinder us. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your cares on me because he cares for you. You know, 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Just means right. So it says if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and right to forgive us of our sins, and he will cleanse us from unrighteousness. I had to actually look at this verse, you know, early this week, because I know I always think about 1 John 1:9 when it comes down to, you know, of course, the salvation verse, like, you know, if we ask for repentance and then God will heal us and, you know, we'll accept the, you know, Holy Spirit in our life as part of that. But I mean, just in general, you know, if you give God your worries, if you give God your weaknesses, if you give God your cares, and if you let go, ask God for forgiveness and ask him to help you to forgive, you know, ask God to help you to relinquish some of the control that you have of your own life and give it to him, then, you know, it's all applicable. Then it says he is faithful and just or right to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you're struggling with a sin out there, listeners, and you feel like, you know, I'm keep on picking up that sin every single day, or I'm it's like I'll pray, Lord, ask for forgiveness, and I keep doing it again. Know that God can help you. Know that he is cleansing you as you speak, and that he tells us that he'll continue the work in you to the day of Jesus that returns. He says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. He said, for it is the will of me to do good and to work in you, not you. You know, so God already knows us. He already knows the condition of our hearts, you know, and he knows of every nook and cranny that we struggle with. So I just want to encourage you guys to just boldly go to the throne of God and to ask him, say, Lord, you know I can fool other people. I know I can, you know, lie to myself. I know I've have these things that's going on in my life. And, you know, I'm the only one that feel like I'm struggling with it, like I'm in bondage of these. And I just want to let go, Lord. I just want to give it to you. And I want to have freedom in my life over this situation. I just encourage you right now to be able to just go to God with that, for whatever it is that's weighing you down right now, because whatever is weighing you down, that's not what was destined in God's plan for you. That's not what was in your script when God created you. He wanted you to live a life of freedom, of joy and peace and the Holy Spirit. So I just pray that you guys would be encouraged to do that. And I know that's not an easy thing to do, but by the power of Jesus right now, I just pray that he'll put that on your hearts. Okay, let's go to Genesis 16:20-23. Okay, and this kind of ties into, okay, Genesis 16:23. Oh, wait a minute. 16. Genesis chapter 16, verse 23. Okay, hold on, let me. I think I just, okay, it says, wait a minute, I'm not seeing that scripture. Where is, just a second. Okay, I'm so sorry. That's not the scripture, not Genesis 16:3. Let's go to 1 John 4, chapter 1, verse chapter 4, verse 17. Excuse me. So it's 1 John. That's always all the way in the back. It's right before Revelation, the second from the last book. Well, really, it's not the second from the last book, because it's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. So let's just go in the back till we get to 1 John, the book of John. Okay, yeah, 1 John 4, verse 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect." And another word from perfect means like complete. So I like to say, instead of it being perfect, I actually like to replace, you know, complete in that, because God wants to complete us, you know, by having us in his life and by living, you know, by obedience in him, you know, we will live a fulfilling, full, complete life. Herein our love is made complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Okay, and my other translation says, "You are God who sees me, because as Jesus was, so are we in this world." And let's go to Psalm 96:10. You know, so God sees you. God loves you. He knows what's going on in your life. He understands how hard it is to relinquish, to, you know, get rid of letting go little bit by little bit. He understands that, you know. But if you don't have that faith in action by actually giving it to him, then, you know, you're going to constantly be struggling. You're going to constantly be weighed down by these things, you know, that, you know, cause you a lot of pain and grief. Okay. Psalm 96, verse 10. 10 says, say among the heathen that the Lord reign. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. I'm going to read down to verse 12. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. And then shall all the trees of the woods rejoice. I read all of that because, you know, God cares about us. We are his righteousness. We are his beloved children. You know, he has our best interest in everything that we do. Let's go to Psalm 94:19. Just a chapter over. Okay, 96. Yes, okay, so Psalm 94, verse 19 says, "In the many multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul." So praise the Lord for that. Let's go to Psalm. So, yeah, the more whatever it is that we're struggling with in our thoughts and everything, God understands that, you know, and he gives us comfort. If you guys listen to my episode that I made about the incomparable comfort of Christ, I talk about in there like what that looks like how God comforts us. But, you know, the most obvious one is that he comforts us through his word. So the more we spend time with the Lord and the more that we, you know, really eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, you know, the more fulfilled we'll be and the more that will compel us to be able to give him more of our life. Praise the Lord for that. let's go to Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 13 through 16. Well, first I want to go to Psalm 90, verse 19. It says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolations brought me joy. Praise the Lord. So the more that we give our anxieties, it says in I can't remember that scripture. I believe it's in Philippians where we're going to go to. It says that, you know, giving. Let's actually go there. We're going to go to Philippians. It may not be. It may be in Ephesians. But it says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, submit your request to God, and the peace of God will be with you. Praise the Lord for that, you know? And that's what, you know, since we were came into this world, you know, we don't have peace apart from God. You know, the reality is that the things that we see that's going on in the world, you know, with this COVID and the pandemic and the, you know, the uprising with just the wars that's going on in Beirut and the tornadoes and wildfire, all of these things are because Jesus, these things were already determined in the Bible and predicted already with happening. So if these things are happening, these are things that can cause us peace, you know, cause us not to have peace. But with God, we have peace because we know that He is in control. You know, we know that He is, the heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. And He's a God of all the entire universe. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, let's go to Philippians 3, verse 13. That's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And then Romans. Okay. Thinking about doing like, what do you guys think of me doing, like breaking down each of the books, like just studying like every book, like in a short episode, like just kind of like giving you guys a breakdown of the history behind the book and then talk about it. Let me know, send me a message on here if you guys have the Anchor app, and let me know if that would be good, if you guys would be interested in that. Philippians 3, 13 through 15 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind and straining towards those things which are therefore. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be complete, be like-minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Okay, now I'm going to read you guys the English Standard Version of that. This is what Paul and Timothy said. Also, just letting you guys know that. So I'm just going to read what it says. 13 It says, brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Praise the Lord. In verse 16, it says, only let us hold true to what we have attained. Okay, so this kind of goes along with it, you know. God doesn't want us to live in the past, you know, and not just saying, you know, whether if it's guilt or pain, but anything that has happened to us, anything that we're holding on to, and if it's something that's not of today, it's considered to be past tense. God wants us to give us all those things. I love at the end of it what God says when he says that, and he will also, anything that we do not know, if there's anything otherwise, God will reveal that also to us. So the more we spend time with God, God will reveal more of himself to us. And the more he reveals of himself to us, the more we are compelled, or in other words, not compelled, controlled, to be able to want to give him that love because of the love that he gives us, which is, you know, unconditional, and it endures forever. And that's the goal that God has for all of his children, because he loves us that much. So guys, I just want to encourage you, like I said, if you're struggling with unforgiveness, if you're struggling with guilt and shame of the past, if you're struggling right now with just over a situation that you said, you know, dang, I know I could have been better, I just encourage you to lose grip. Just lose a little grip of that and give it to the Lord. We can't trust man, but we can trust God. We can give God our all, because he won't fail us. He says, "But man will fail us, but I never will." He always hold us in his arms and always help us to move forward closer to his calling, the upward calling of Christ Jesus. You can always, you know, pray to God. You can always go to him, because he's always there with you. Regardless of what's going on in this world right now, we can put our trust and our love in God's hands and know that he has our best interests at heart. That when Jesus returns, that we can return with him and have boldness. You know, right now, the things that we're going through right now is uncertainty. You know, it's anxiety, it's uneasiness. We have confusion in our hearts right now, because we don't know what to come from, what to expect, I mean, you know. But if we give God our life, amen, if we put our life in God's hands, he can change us. He can give us the hope that we're seeking for, so that when we see Jesus return for us, we won't shrink back. We won't be ashamed. We won't feel regret or remorse, or we wouldn't want to say, like it said in Revelations, where when Jesus came, that they people hid behind rocks during the tribulation because they feared Jesus. They feared what's to come because of their disobedience. But I just pray in the name of Jesus that he will give you guys the openness and the love and the boldness, the courage, because courage is a step further. It's one step closer to boldness. The courage, I mean, to be able to come to God and to give him all of your weaknesses, to ask for forgiveness and help him to allow the Holy Spirit to come live in you, so that you can get the peace that he's put into all of his children. I pray this prayer for you all, and that you will be be compelled to be able to do that. Guys, thank you so much. Have to tone it down a bit, but I mean, I just know that God loves you, and I know that he wants the best for you guys. And I really do pray this was a blessing to you, and you know, I'll be praying for you. I guess we'll have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to give you praise, Lord, for being such a gracious God, Father. I want to thank you, Father God, for the peace that you can give us, Lord. The peace of mind, body, and soul, Lord. The safety and security and the provision that you provide, Father God, each and every day of my life. I pray, Father God, for the listeners out there, Father, that you would give them the same, Lord, that your love would rule in their hearts, and that they may grow in you, Lord. I pray a blessing on their children. I pray a blessing on their families, And I pray, Father, that they would draw closer unto you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this word you put on my heart to be able to be a blessing to someone else. And, you know, I just pray that more and more people would be drawn to want to hear your messages, Lord. Help us to remember that the ones that are at home, that praying for other people and sharing the word of God to other people is a form of service to you, because prayer is the best way that we can show we love others, Lord. We just thank you, Father God, that we're able to come into your presence by the blood that Jesus shed for our sins, and that we don't have to be in shame. We don't have to be in guilt, but we can trust in you. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.